Okay, so the title is Entrainment of Randomly Coupled Orchestral Networks, and I'm Hiroshi Kori working in Berlin. Collaborator is Alexander Mikhailov. And the first thing I have to tell you is that in the list, I am a professor, but actually I'm not a professor, just a doctor. Okay, let's begin. So this is the outlook of the talk. First introduction, I will show you some general motivation there, and biological clocks is related to this talk, so I will explain it, and then the concrete problem we consider, I will talk about the concrete problem there. And then model and dynamics there, I will show the clear result of disappearance of Arnold tongue in hierarchical networks. And then this Arnold tongue will be rescued by the extension of the network. There I will discuss it. And the last session is discussion, a rough discussion about jet lag. Okay. So general motivation is really simple. I want to know the influence of network architecture on dynamics, or strong impact of network architecture. And this is, of course, important for neural networks, gene regulation networks, production networks, traffic networks, etc., etc. A lot of examples there. And for this aim, I will consider the following system, very simple system. There are population of oscillators, and they are coupled by random networks, complex networks, and some of them are influenced by some external forcing. And this system, in biological system, there is a good example of this kind of system. This is biological clock, or we can say circadian rhythm. So I first explain you about the biological clock. So biological clock is endogenous clock embedded in organisms. And even in the dark room, we know that we can act rhythmically. And its natural period is close but different from 24 hours. For example, human beings usually have 25 hours of rhythm or something like that. And in mammals, and it is known that this is produced by suprachiasmatic nucleus. This is a small tissue in the brain, 1 millimeter tissue in the brain. And this is a dense assembly of neurons. There are more than 10,000 neurons there. And each neuron is amazingly genetic oscillator with a period of about 24 hours. So this oscillation is formed by some regulation network of a group of genes. And there is a nice experiment reported in this science paper about this suprachiasmatic nucleus. So this is a movie. So this is a slice of this tissue, suprachiasmatic nucleus, in the experiment, in the dark room. And each light shows some, there is a reporter of a certain gene in this experiment. So each light shows some density of a certain protein which is responsible to make the circadian rhythm. And here, this line shows the intensity of this light representing the density of each neuron of certain protein. So here we see the clear mutual synchronization. And this period is about 24 hours, but actually in this case 24.5 hours or something. Okay, yep. So here, mutual synchronization of gene expression occurs, and without help of external stimulus. And but mathematically, this is a sort of, I think, Cram tradition. And actually, this is not the topic of this talk. And the topic is here, environmental entrainment. And yesterday I found a really nice movie in the website. So this is human, and there is light coming to the eye. Of course we can feel the light, and this information goes along these optic nerves, and there is a certain tissue called optic chiasma here. The chiasma is a place where our optic nerves cross. And there, this is suprachiasmatic nucleus, our biological clock. And there is a certain connection from the optic nerve to the suprachiasmatic nucleus, so this tissue can feel the information of light. And inside the chain, there is a lot of neurons, and which, as I said, which each of them can oscillate with about 24 hours rhythm. So this is the anatomy of our biological clock. And the problem is these two problems. So our daily rhythm, our circadian rhythm, natural frequency is different from environmental rhythm. This is 24 hours. And the other problem is change of daylight rhythm. This can happen because of the season or long distance trip. Adaptation to the environment is essential for the normal functioning. And otherwise, we cannot act rhythmically. We cannot lead a social life. And it is known that light can shift the phase of our biological clock. And there is an interesting structure in the anatomy of suprachiasmatic nucleus. Only 10% of neurons in SCN are directly influenced by cortical input. So this is a schematic structure of a slice of our biological clock, and this circle shows the neurons which can be influenced directly by the cortical input, light. And this line shows some fibers coming from these neurons. And because this is slice, this looks discontinuous, but this is actually continuous fibers. So other neurons, here there are of course other neurons, 90% of neurons are influenced through a complex network inside the network. So we have schematically this kind of network system. So there are a lot of network oscillators, and some of them are influenced by 24 hours rhythm, external forcing. So this is the model. This is an example of the model I will consider in this talk. So now coming to the general problems, which I will consider in this talk. So the first one is size of anode tongue. So the parameter, this is the parameter region in which the oscillator network is able to be entrained by the network, by the pacemaker, by the environment. So this is a certain parameter I will explain later after the introduction of the model. And this is the frequency of external forcing. And this is the natural frequency. So inside this region, we can expect the network can be entrained by this external forcing. And for example of our biological clock, 24-hour rhythm should be inside. Otherwise, the biological clock cannot function. And the other quantity is that relaxation time. This is in the case of biological clock, relaxation time from jet lag. So these two quantities are interesting and important. And the goal of this talk is quantify the dependencies of these two quantities, anode tongue and relaxation time, on the network architecture. And the tool is investigated very general model. The motivation and this problem itself is really general. So use a general model and get general results. Okay, this is the introduction of the talk of this work. Now going to the model and dynamics. So the model is very simple. We consider the population of identical oscillators connected by Kuramoto type connection. And kappa is the coupling strength. And here I introduce Aij. This is a matrix which determines the connection between I and J. And in this model, Aij is either 1 or 0, and given independently with the probability P and 1 minus P. Okay, and this network is really trivial. They just show phase synchrony. And now I introduce the environment, or I will say pacemaker. So this is the source of external forcing, and only a part of them are influenced by this external forcing. And the others does not have a connection to the from the pacemaker. Okay. And parameters. So going to the rotating frame, we can put the natural frequency 0. And by rescaling coupling strength in this way, we can put the external forcing 1. So this is our model. And there are a few parameters in this model. Size of network, this is N. And our interest in analytical calculation, which I will show you later, is large. And in numerical simulation, this is 100. Not very large, but enough for this talk, enough for this work. And the connectivity is PN. I didn't explain a lot, sorry. Okay. So PN is a connectivity. This means that each oscillator typically has PN incoming connections. And our interest is sparse but large, like neural network. And the next parameter is the number of oscillators directly connected to the pacemaker. This is N1. Only N1 oscillators are directly connected to the pacemaker. And the coupling strength inside the network is kappa here. And the coupling strength from the pacemaker is mu here. And in this talk, I always assume that mu is really very large. In this case, always, these N1 oscillators are entrained by the pacemaker. And I will see how the dynamics changes by changing this kappa of the network. Okay, so before going to dynamics, we have to know this organization. Okay, we define hierarchical positions of nodes by shortest distance from pacemaker. This will be important in the dynamics. So these oscillators are directly connected to the pacemaker, and we define this as number one. And from number one, tracing these forward connections, we come to number two and number three. So these numbers are determined by shortest distance, so this is a unique definition. And we call these numbers set of shells. So these are oscillators in the first shell, and these are oscillators in the second shell, and so on. And after this definition, we know that there are two kinds of connections. One is the forward connections. Forward connection is leading from the southern shell to the next shell, and the others are backward connection or inter-shell connection. And if we display only forward connections, then we can see really clearly the hierarchical organization of this network. And the important quantity is this one. We define the good quantity characterizing the hierarchy of a given network. This is called depth. Depth is really easy, the average of these numbers. So in this sphere, this is about this is exactly 2. And in this sphere, this is about 2.5 or something. So this is the mean forward distance from pacemaker. It typically takes L steps from pacemaker to a node. So for a given network, we have a unique value of depth. Okay, let's go into the simulation. Okay, here I show these are oscillators, and zero means pacemaker. And y direction is phase differences seen from the pacemaker. And I sort the oscillators according to the hierarchical position. So these are oscillators in the first shell, second shell, third shell, and fourth shell. And the parameters are like this. And now, because the coupling is zero, coupling inside the network is zero, they just fall down like snow from the initial conditions. And now I introduce the coupling to 1. Now coupling is 1. So they begin to show phase synchrony inside the network, but not entrained by the pacemaker. And now I increase kappa again to 2, 3, 4, 5. And during this situation, we can see clear correlation between the phases and the hierarchical positions. We can see the correlation clearly. And now I include more. Now 6, they are now very close to the pacemaker, frequency of pacemaker. And at 7, not yet. And at a certain point, they are now entrained. So there is a certain critical coupling strength, critical value. Okay. So what we have seen is that there is a strong correlation between phases and their hierarchical positions. And the next one, there is an entrainment threshold, kappa critical. And there, a certain bifurcation occurs. And this is a long-time frequency of oscillators not directly connected to the pacemaker. And this is the coupling strength. And we saw the increase of frequency, and that's a certain point they are entering. And the interesting property of this model is that this value varies largely between different realization of random networks. So sometimes this is 13, and sometimes this can be 50 or something, using the same parameter region, with the same parameter family. Okay, so what I plot here is that the entrainment threshold obtained by many generative networks. Here the connectivity is fixed, 10, and I generated now roughly 100 networks here, and each network, after the generation of network, we can calculate the depth, L, and in this case 3.5 or something, and by numerical simulation we can determine the critical coupling strength. And N1 equal 1 means that only one oscillator is connected to the pacemaker. Here we can see the clear correlation between kappa and the depth L. And we can also generate other networks. Here, two oscillators are connected to the pacemaker, 3 and so on. And we see this clear line. And please note that this is a log scale. So this means that there is an exponential dependence, very strong dependence. And this can be amazing. This can be fitted by this function, 1 plus connectivity to the power of L. So we saw the exponential depends on the depth. And of course, other connectivity, we see again this exponential dependence, and this can be fitted by, again, this 1 plus Pn to the power of L. So what we can conclude here is that, so this is a coupling strength, and this is the frequency of the exam forcing. So what we have obtained is this one. The distance is 1 plus Pn to the power of L. And on the other hand, by recording that our model is rescaled as this way, so we have this one, to the power of minus L. So this means that for large L, for hierarchical networks, this Arnold tan disappears in hierarchical networks, becomes exponentially smaller. This region becomes exponentially smaller with the depth L, for larger depth L. So practically, only shallow networks has the ability to be entrained. This is the conclusion from that numerical simulation. And about the numerical simulation, about the relaxation time. So I don't explain a lot, but here we also see the exponential dependence. So this is the relaxation time when the phase of pacemaker suddenly changes. And here the exponential dependence can be seen again. So relaxation time also has an exponential dependence on the depth. And these results can be obtained by, we can derive analytically, but I don't have it. Maybe I have some time. Okay. Yes. So the model can be solved by using a mimic of random networks. And I will consider this region a large connectivity, but much smaller than the network size. And in this network, we have this kind of structure of network with a dynamic. This is just a structure of network. There is a pacemaker, and from the theory of random graphs, we know that they mostly, most part has this kind of tree structure. This means that each oscillator has only one forward connection from the last shell. And this structure goes to a certain place, and they begin to have overlaps of the forward connections. And the backward connections come from these two last shells, because these two last shells have a majority of the population. And one can also go from this network, but the easiest way is use a mimic of this random network, the three approximately forward connections. I only show the only forward connection in this network. Okay, so this is a three approximation. So we approximate that number of forward connections per oscillator is always one. And backward connection is PN plus minus something, but for large PN we can neglect the fluctuation from PN. And because now all oscillators inside a particular shell have identical connection pattern, only one connection from the last shell and backward connection is PN, phase synchronized state inside each shell exists. And so essentially, we have this kind of network structure, one-dimensional line. And in this network, we can solve easily. And here, this is our original model. Now we have the contribution from forward connections and backward connection here. And we can solve this model by putting one. This is a frequency of pacemaker. And we get the phase, so we get this one. So this means that the phase difference between the neighboring shells grows exponentially if we consider the shallower places. So phase difference grows exponentially from the deepest shell to the shell. And because this sine function must be smaller than one, the existence condition of the solution is here. And this is because the phase difference between the first and second shell is largest, we have this existing condition. From here, we get this critical coupling strength. And of course, we have to study stability and also stability. And by assuming some kind of mean field theory, mean field, we obtain this stability, the degradation time. Okay, anyway, the solution is always stable when it exists. And it disappears by sudden bifurcation. And the degradation time this has this kind of scaling. So this means exponential dependence. And there is a sudden divergence here because of the bifurcation, critical slowing down. OK, the mechanism of exponential dependence was understood already. It's easy. Forward connection is 1, and backward connection is pn. And this gives plus contribution, and this gives minus. And accumulation of this asymmetry along quad path, the length is about L, gives exponential growth of phase difference. This is the mechanism of the exponential dependence. Now going to the extension of the network. Okay, so we learned that, we learned that the bad thing is this backward connections. So we can easily imagine that the better networks. So suppose that we have random networks and we randomly eliminate a certain ratio of backward connections. We give change in the network structure. And here this is the directivity I call. So if GUSA equals 1, this is normal random networks. And if GUSA is 0, this is now feed forward networks. Okay, so then we have only one forward connections and backward connection becomes typically GUSA PN smaller. And then we get to this dependence analytically. And this is a numerical verification of this result. So this is the result which I already shown. And here, now 80% of backward connections are eliminated. Here, the dependence become much smaller. This means that the synchronization is much easier. And now 100% is eliminated, there's no dependence on the hierarchy anymore. So here, this means that even for hierarchical network for larger L, the Arnold time again has certain size. So the Arnold time is rescued by this extension. Okay, so discussion about the biological clocks. So biological clock should be entrained by the external forcing. So biological clock, the network of biological clocks should be shallow and also close to field forward networks. This is the prediction. And this kind of network can be designed easily by our hand, by assuming that oscillators in the shallow shells have larger connection, a lot of larger connections. So they should be halves in the networks and small numbers of connections from the shallow Sorry, this is from shallow shell to the from deep shell to the shallow shell. And anatomically, this is the non-structure of our biological clock. So these are neurons which are connected to the pacemaker, to the environment, and they are really hubs of the network. But the other neurons have smaller number of backward connection to these neurons. So this structure, seemingly this structure, is obtained by this network. Okay, so crazy experiment. So this is a rough discussion. Okay, so we try to enlarge the anal tongue by training. Maybe can be possible when we are baby. And so this is a couple of strengths. And so for example, give very fast rhythm, for example, 20 hours rhythm, then we can be entrained by that rhythm. In that case, we have a shallower and more uniform directive network. This means that we have not only the anal tongue, larger anal tongue, but also shorter relaxation. This means that no more jet lag we have. And if we study a baby. Okay, so conclusion is this figure. Anal tongue vanishes in helical networks. Practically only shallow networks can be entered. This is already published from last year. And anal tongue is rescued in more uniformly directed networks. This anal tongue again have a large domain if we consider Guzai, small Guzai. This means close to the field forward networks. That's all. Thank you for the attention.
Why have a hierarchical network at all? Why not just have a layer of cells that are entrained directly, and then you've got 24-hour circadian rhythm? Yeah. Why? I mean, I'm not. This is not critical. I'm asking for what your opinion is of why we seem to have this hierarchical structure. Yeah. What's the benefit?
Well, benefit. I think there's no benefit, but because of maybe geometrical restriction or something.
Right.
Yeah. So they should have, they should make some kind of feed-forward networks to have a good ability.
A question about the actual SCN. What depth, is it known what depth that has?
No, not yet. But actually I discussed with some biologists which shows the experiment of the circadian rhythms. They just guess about maybe 3 or 4 or something like that, because there are certain in the experiment, we can see certain phase clusters in these experiments, and there are 3 peaks. This can imply that there are 3 steps of the information transmission.
Okay.